This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is C-SPAN's The Weekly. I'm Steve Scully in Washington. Our focus, cyber attacks. Just in the last few days, affecting the meat we buy and public transportation in America's largest city, and its potential implications, sending new concerns on this 21st century threat facing America.
And tonight, two new major cyber attacks, this time against the New York City subway and a ferry system in Massachusetts. They come as the company that supplies about a quarter of America's beef is still dealing with a crippling ransomware attack, apparently launched from Russia.
Just ahead, we will talk to Leon Panetta, former defense secretary, CIA director, White House chief of staff, and a former member of Congress. He is also the founder of the Panetta Institute of Public Policy, located on the Monterey Bay campus of California State University. It was October 2011, nearly 10 years ago, then Defense Secretary Panetta with this warning during a speech at the Wilson Center here in Washington.
Alongside this nuclear danger is an entirely new kind of threat that we have to be prepared, better prepared to confront, the threat of cyber attacks. Cyber has become a major concern as we face large numbers of attacks from non-state actors and large nations alike. And the prospect of a catastrophic disruption of critical infrastructure that would cripple our nation. The potential to paralyze this country through a cyber attack is very real.
Then Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, a speech he delivered 10 years ago at the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. It's available as part of the C-SPAN video library. And a year later in New York City, he delivered another speech with a warning of a cyber Pearl Harbor. The New York Times put it this way, the defense secretary saying the U.S. is increasingly more vulnerable to foreign computer hackers who could dismantle the nation's power grid, transportation system, financial networks, and government. Secretary Panetta is joining us from Monterey, California. That was a decade ago. Where are we today?
Well, I'm afraid that we are seeing the consequences of cyber and what impact cyber attacks can have on our vital infrastructure. It isn't the kind of massive attack that I was talking about 11 years ago, but what we're doing is basically death by a thousand cuts, in which the combination of criminal organizations like those within the Russian government, as well as countries, not just Russia, but China, Iran, North Korea. The combination of all of those adversaries and the targeting that they are now doing has indicated that we have a massive vulnerability in terms of our vital infrastructure. This is not just criminal activity. This is a threat on our national security itself.
The obvious follow-up is why. With Russia in particular, we've heard from Secretary of State Tony Blinken saying that Russia has an obligation to stop these attacks. But what is the end game, either of the Russian government or of these Russian actors?
I think the fundamental end game is to undermine the strength of the United States. My experience as director of the CIA and also as Secretary of Defense is that the Russians are totally focused on trying to weaken the United States. That's their fundamental objective. And they've done it, obviously, through the cyber attacks that impacted on our election system and tried to undermine trust in our election system over the last number of elections. They've done it through this larger attacks called SolarWinds, which impacted on corporations and industries as well as agencies within the federal government. And they are doing it by encouraging these criminal operations that have targeted through ransomware our vital infrastructure. A huge pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline serving the East Coast, and almost shutting down the delivery of gas to that part of the country. They've done it now with the JBS attack impacting on meat distribution, which is also a part of our infrastructure in this country. And we've seen it happen now with regards to the subway system in New York, as well as the ferry systems in New England. If this continues, this kind of ransomware attack, it is not only going to impact on our economy, it's going to send a signal that the United States is vulnerable in terms of all of our major infrastructure systems.
As you pointed out in that speech in 2012, this is the 21st century war that we are facing. Russia is one of the challenges, but there are others as well. Can you explain?
Yeah, there's no question that cyber technology is developing rapidly. When I gave that speech, I was concerned because Iran had developed a very sophisticated virus called the Shamoon virus, which they deployed against Aramco Oil in Saudi Arabia and literally destroyed 30,000 computers. That same kind of virus, if deployed in this country, could literally shut down vital elements of our infrastructure, whether it's our electric grid system, our chemical systems, our transportation systems, our government systems, our financial systems. It has that potential. And as you can imagine, this technology is continuing to develop. So it's not just Iran. We've seen North Korea use some of that same technology. And clearly China has been using the latest technologies to be able to impact on gathering vital information from this country. I think it was Brian Alexander who used to head the our technical agency dealing with communications, who said it was the largest stealing of vital government information in our history that China has been able to accomplish. So when you put all of that together, we are clearly seeing cyber become the battlefield of the future, and it's also the battlefield of the present.
And of course, we are so dependent on technology, on computers, on emails, on information technology. So the potential that we're facing could really have implications beyond just the meat we buy or the train we're on in New York City, but obviously how we operate day-to-day business, the U.S. economy.
Yeah, there's no question that we are becoming increasingly digitalized. I mean, we are expanding our computer capabilities across the board, where businesses now are basically putting their entire business dependent on computers and artificial intelligence capabilities that can basically run businesses on their own. The more we become dependent on these computers to run vital infrastructure in this country, the more vulnerable we are to those cyber attackers who are going to try to do what they can to basically interfere and capture those computers. That is the vicious circle that we are now locked into.
The New York Times wrote the following: Defense Secretary Panetta painting a dire picture of how such an attack on the U.S. might unfold. This from 10 years ago. What did you see back then that gave you this warning, and where are we today?
Well, as I said, I saw what Iran was able to do in basically shutting down Aramco oil, and also obviously was aware from my own intelligence experience of the development of those kinds of sophisticated viruses that can not only shut down computers, but you can actually deploy these viruses into computer systems and activate them in the future. We've seen that happen with SolarWinds. We don't really know, even to this day, how much of an impact we've had as a result of that massive cyber attack. So if we have seen the capability of these viruses to literally shut down huge computer systems and paralyze elements of our infrastructure, what we're seeing today is these criminal operations using ransomware not only to shut down our elements of our infrastructure, but the problem I see now is that the only way out is to pay ransom to these criminal operations. And all that does is send a message to them to continue to do the same thing. I mean, we just had the Colonial Pipeline. I think it was $4.4 million that was paid to them in order to try to restore that pipeline. I suspect that JBS, the meat provider, may very well be looking at how to pay off this ransomware attack that they've gone under. So my concern right now is that we do not have an effective national strategy to deal with these various attacks that we're confronting, and that we have not developed the kind of comprehensive cyber defense strategy that this country should develop in order to protect our security.
And as you well know, as part of the national security team, there is an Office of Cyber and Emerging Technology, and the White House, through that office, really providing some recommendations to the private sector. But what I'm hearing from you is that's not enough. You're saying there needs to be a much broader strategy, a bigger strategy. What has to happen?
I think the most important things are actually some of the same elements that I addressed in that speech 11 years ago. One is we do need this comprehensive national strategy that stresses both defense and offense in terms of our country. How do we protect our country and our national security from the vulnerabilities of having our most vital infrastructure systems taken down? Secondly, how do we develop a much stronger public-private partnership in this area? Part of the problem right now is that everybody kind of is doing their own thing. Departments, agencies, private sector companies, some of them do a good job, some not such a good job in defending themselves, but it's all very hit and miss. We need to have a strong public-private partnership where you can share information on the kinds of attacks that are being made and develop common strategies to be able to deal with that. And lastly, we need to remain on the cutting edge of this technology. We need to be able to develop better technologies for the future to counter the kind of attacks we're getting, and we need to recruit the best and the brightest in order to make sure that the United States is on the cutting edge of cyber technology.
Let me remind our listeners, we are talking to Leon Panetta. He is joining us from California. A former member of the House of Representatives, served as the White House Chief of Staff during the Clinton administration, also as the Director of the CIA and the 23rd Secretary of Defense, now at the Panetta Institute of Public Policy in California. Why are we so vulnerable, and is the private sector more vulnerable than the federal government, based on your expertise?
I really think it depends on which areas of both of those sectors that you're looking at. I think at the federal level, I think the Defense Department, DOD, I think the intelligence agencies, I think Homeland Security, I suspect the White House, I have some very effective systems to deal with trying to defend themselves from cyber attacks. When I became a director of the CIA, I was told that we were getting 100,000 attacks a day trying to get information out of the CIA. I'm sure that that has probably multiplied threefold in terms of the number of attacks.
Let me just stop you there. 100,000 attacks a day, and that was back in 2009, 2010, 2011.
That's correct. Literally facing thousands of attacks a day and having to defend against that. And actually, we did a pretty good job at doing it, and I suspect that those systems are as good, if not better, today. But there are agencies and departments in this massive federal government that don't have a very good defense system from those kinds of attacks. And we've seen that happen with SolarWinds, the attack by the Russian government that, in fact, penetrated some of these agencies and departments like Commerce and others. And the same thing is true in the private sector. There are some companies and industries that have very good defense systems to try to protect themselves from cyber attacks. But most businesses basically are operating by the seat of their pants and trying to develop systems that can try to protect them. But very frankly, it is very much a hit-and-miss operation, and there is no consistent standard in the private sector that is being required that can provide the kind of comprehensive defense we need.
I'm reminded what President George W. Bush said after 9/11, that we have to be right all the time, the terrorists only once. And I guess that's the same with cyber terrorism.
No, there's no question. As head of intelligence, my greatest fear was that we would get it right 99% of the time. But that 1% that we missed could very well undermine our national security. And that is what is required today, is that we cannot afford to just have an adequate defense system. We need to have a comprehensive defense system. And very frankly, we also need to have an offense as well, that can make clear to our adversaries, whether it's Russia or China or North Korea or Iran or terrorists, that if they're going to continue these kinds of attacks on the United States, they too will have to pay a price for what they're doing. That needs to be a message that the United States sends as well.
But Secretary Panetta, what price, and how do you enforce whatever the punishment is?
We have the experience and capability in the cyber arena not only to develop strong defenses, but to also use some of the same capability to be able to do to others what they're doing to us. And I just think that we need to have every potential weapon in our arsenal to be able to deal with the kind of attacks that we're getting today. It isn't enough just to basically ask the Russians to be nice, as we found out in the past. I think they need to understand that if they don't stop doing what they're doing, that they too will ultimately pay a price.
As you well know, one of the lessons of September 11th, the silos that were found in our intelligence operations here in the U.S., are those silos broken down not only here among the federal government here in the U.S., but also with our allies around the world?
I think that is the concern that I would have, is that in many ways we saw the consequences of those silos when 9/11 happened, in that vital information was not being shared by intelligence agencies. And ultimately, we tried to correct that as a result of what happened on 9/11. But what I'm seeing today are the same silos in the cyber arena developing in departments, in agencies, in governments, both here and abroad, and frankly, in the private sector, both here and abroad as well. Everybody is trying to deal with this largely on their own. And what it does is it results in something like the Colonial Pipeline. Instead of trying to deal with who is attacking their operation, their first option is to pay off the ransom and try to get back to business. And I understand, you know, that that motivation. But when they do that, it only encourages additional attacks in the future. What we need to do is to establish not only a strong defense against those kinds of attacks, but we really have to have backup systems in the private sector and in government, that if an attack takes place, we have a fallback in order to continue the vital infrastructure that has to service our country. So there's an awful lot that needs to be done right now, and it has to begin, as I said, with that comprehensive national strategy.
And based on what you know, Secretary Panetta, is this something as simple as an employee opening up an email, and that email has the ability to really infect an entire company, system, government office? I mean, is it something that simple?
It is exactly that simple, and it happens every day. When an employee gets an email, doesn't quite know what it is, but immediately tunes into that email. And when that happens, that virus, that cyber attack is introduced into the system that that employee is a part of. There is an effort, obviously, to develop technologies to try to counter those kinds of attacks. There are systems to try to build a kind of leveled defense system in which a number of checks have to occur before that email is opened. But it varies, very frankly, from area to area as to the adequacy of the steps that are being taken. And I'm afraid that too often employees just go ahead and tune into that email without being aware of the consequences.
And as you well know, the Russian threat will be one of the issues on the agenda when President Biden sits down with Russian President Vladimir Putin. That will take place June 16th, later this month, in Geneva, Switzerland. If you were sitting across from Vladimir Putin, what would you tell him?
I think it's very important for President Biden to make very clear where the lines are in dealing with Putin and with Russia. I think for too long, Putin has assumed weakness on the part of the United States, and it's empowered him not only to go into the Crimea and the Ukraine, not only to deploy forces to Syria and Libya, but also to conduct the kind of cyber attacks on the United States that we've seen happen time and time again. I think President Biden has to make very clear that there are lines that the Russians cannot continue to cross, and that cyber in particular is one of those areas that affects our national security. It affects our infrastructure, and we are not going to allow Russia to undermine our national security. I think he has to give them a very clear message that this is unacceptable. Obviously, there are, a number of other areas they'll have to touch in a summit. But I think considering the kind of cyber attacks that we've incurred over these last few weeks and what it's done in terms of our vital infrastructure, I would be very clear to Putin that we consider this a threat to our national security, period.
But the question is, will Putin listen? Will Russia listen?
That's always the question. But I think President Biden also needs to make clear that the United States is not going to simply stand by and do nothing. That if this continues, that the United States will exact a price from Russia.
Looking at the arc of your lifetime, you were a toddler when Pearl Harbor occurred in 1941. You came to Congress in 1977, pre-email, pre-computer age, and even when you were OMB director, computers were still relatively new, and yet today they run our lives.
Yeah, no, I've seen that transition take place. I often tell people that I come from the typewriter age, where you basically were able to type something that you could check and see.
And you had that whiteout to make a correction.
That's right. And today, computers are largely spewing this stuff out left and right, a lot of it without a great deal of concentration, frankly. And we are growing increasingly dependent on computers to do the work of human beings. And while on one hand it's a convenience, and while on one hand it obviously helps improve our economy, at the same time it makes us that much more vulnerable to the kind of attacks that we've seen. And I'm afraid that while we've enjoyed the benefit of building computer systems left and right, we have not taken the time to develop the kind of defenses that we need in order to make sure that the United States is not the target for the kind of attacks we've seen these last few weeks.
So let me conclude with a final point. Are there lessons that we can take away from other countries, other businesses? Who's doing it right, if they're out there?
Well, it's a good question because, frankly, I think everybody's in the same boat when it comes to trying to deal with cyber. This is a complex area, and the technology of cyber attacks is complex as well. And for most of us, who enjoy our iPhones and our computers, we want the convenience of being able to handle an iPhone and a computer, and in many ways can't be bothered with the concern about whether or not that computer can be weaponized. And I think that's true not just here, but I think it's true throughout the world, that in many ways we really have kind of taken it for granted that somehow, even though there are periodic attacks, that it won't affect me. I think we really need the world to be educated to the fact that it can be you. And if our infrastructure is impacted in a serious way, we're the ones, all of us, are the ones who are going to pay the price for that vulnerability. So it's for that reason that I think the United States, working with the world community, frankly, have to develop better approaches to how we deal with trying to control cyber attacks against our security.
And again, the headline from a decade ago in the New York Times, Defense Secretary Panetta warning of the dire threat of a cyber attack on the United States. The speech that he delivered in 2011 is available as part of the C-SPAN video library. Secretary Panetta, thank you very much for your insights. We appreciate your time today.
Good to be with you, Steve. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
And finally, this reminder, be sure to listen and follow wherever you get your favorite podcast. All of our coverage available on the web at cspan.org, and follow us on Twitter at C-SPAN Radio. I'm Steve Scully in Washington. We thank you for listening.
We'll be right back.